This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Craig Quaglia joining us today live, our myofascial trigger point therapist. Excited to have him here again to talk more about the work he's doing, how he's helping so many people. And of course, really, you very highly respected from the Chicago area as a trigger point and clinical massage therapist. We're back with him today live on our Zoom show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm going to introduce my friend here.
Hey, who's that? Skelly?
This is Tommy Triggerpoint. He's the latest addition to our collection.
Oh my gosh, look at him. Ah, great.
When at this time of year, when you walk into my waiting room, I've been collecting for years, so I have a mini horror house. And what's nice about it is it causes people to laugh and relax, and you know, because they're coming in, we're going to take care of some serious business here. So as my old tango instructor said, when you meet your partner for the first time, your new partner, wow her, and do something that she'll remember. So that's the way we're going to start today.
Perfect. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's another great day in Chicago. And as you said, my name is Craig Quaglia. So we're going to go through the history again a little bit because this time we're live.
Absolutely.
I have been a myofascial trigger point therapist for 38 years. And even at the times when I sort of got a little burnt out or depressed because of the business part of it, I was always excited about the myofascial part of it. If I could get rid of the biz part and just do the myofascial part, I'd be a happy camper. So as it turns out, I went to a school, which is now gone, but at the time was the Chicago School of Massage Therapy. It was pretty much known across the country. Great incubator for therapists of all kinds at that time. And after graduating from there with a group of other people like-minded, fortunately, we live in an area that's really open-minded. And it may seem strange now to think about massage therapy, and it's part of the vernacular, it's part of the healthcare system. At that time, it was not so much part of anything except maybe you could go to jail kind of a thing. Yeah, so... but like I said, we opened up in a place called Oak Park, first legal massage therapy clinic at that time. And then from there, I began to learn other modalities, and including myofascial trigger point therapy. And the reason for that for me was personal. I had migraine headaches. I was looking for ways to cope with and deal with the various pain in my life. And one of the things I learned a long time ago is that the best way to learn about something is get to pay to learn about it and then apply it. So I was able to take the things I learned and slowly begin to apply it to my patients and clients at that time. Now, the nice thing was, especially in Chicago, there is a vibrant myofascial trigger point community. And so there were people who would mentor. You know, I'd volunteer my time to work in their offices in return for learning how to do the techniques and learn how to deal with people, how to do intake, how to listen. Listen is just so very important, which is, I know, of course, is part of your job. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So in the process of doing that, I started getting exposed to doctors, to naturopath physicians, to physiatrists. All of them, pain meds management doctors were a big one that we got exposed to, because that whole thing, just as we all know, with the opioid crisis turned into a mess and actually caused us to shut down one clinic. And that's a story we can get into another time. But the point is, pain is very much a real part of people's lives. And more importantly, what we're talking about is life-changing pain, okay? So when I say life-changing pain, let's just take an example. 2 days ago, I had a woman in her 78 years old who dropped a shredder on her foot 2 years ago. Wow. And ended up with a fracture. Now, of course, from the medical point of view, the fracture healed. They did their job. But she was in constant pain, okay? Yeah. And so her son finally decided to bring his mother to me.
Oh, wow.
Now, to mom's credit, she wants to be active, and maybe she was being a little too active. So she was trying to walk 7 miles a day on a foot that
wow.
wasn't improperly, that was properly, not properly
mm-hmm.
healed. And so it was sort of adding to the problem. So make a long story short, which isn't really that long, he brought her in, and I began to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the conversation, after listening to her, she definitely wants to get better. She does not want her life to remain like this. We had a conversation about not necessarily walking 7 miles every day, but walking up to the point where it begins to hurt. So up until then, she'd seen doctors, surgeons. They wanted to do surgery on her. A podiatrist wanted to do all kinds of injections. So none of that was working. And part of it was she was walking too much. She wasn't giving it time to heal in between. But the other part is they were only looking at the foot without the realization and the understanding of the anatomy that a lot of the muscles for the foot are in your lower leg. And if you stop and think about that, it makes perfect sense. So what I did was do everything from her hip down to her foot. And by the time we were done, the pain had gone down substantially. She was probably 7 or 8 on the 10 scale. On that particular, by the time we were done watching her walk out,
yeah,
she was probably somewhere around 5. Now, that's a big deal. So now, yesterday when I checked in, she was sore. That was to be expected. Today, I haven't had a chance to check in. But the bottom line is this, that from this point on, I expect her to get better. It's not going to take long. She's not going to have to spend a lot of money. And more importantly, she's not going to be in pain. And better yet, she's probably not going to walk 7 blocks on a foot that's hurting at that point. So that comes out of creating a relationship with her where I listen to what she says, where I utilize skills like palpation. Palpation means mm-hmm. really getting into the tissue, feeling around. It's another way of communicating with the body that unfortunately seems to be going away and lost. Today, if you go see a doctor back in the day, they would put their hands on you, check this, check that, you know, around your throat, you know, just make, even if it was functional, it was making a connection, an important connection, and creating an environment that you begin to communicate with that doctor and feel safe and say what you need to say and tell your story. Well, unfortunately, that's all going away, but not in my practice. And that story is very important because it could often give you hints or insights into what's going on that has been overlooked at that point. So at the end of the session, we sat her down, her and I and her son. Her son's a great guy, brought her in.
Mm-hmm.
And started showing her what she's going to start doing on a daily basis. Even after she goes and does her 3 mile walk instead of 7, if the soreness presents, she's going to know what to do now. And over the next few days, we're going to find out if we can expand that window where the dysfunction tries to return. The problem with a 2-year chronic pain syndrome like this is that it's a learned response in the body. So in effect, we're teaching her how to do her own physical therapy. And that's part of what I do when I start working with people. So a lot of this came as a result of working in 6 clinics. 2 of them were mine at one point or another, which brings me to the story of why I hate the business side, but no bodies, no work, no getting in there and making a difference in people's lives and being able to do the passion that I do. But the great thing about the clinics is they open your eyes. You don't just see a certain type of an injury. You see all kinds of soft tissue, musculoskeletal injury. And you can't go about each one the same way. So you have to treat the person, not just the symptoms. You're looking for the cause, and treating the person means obviously going through the history and listening to their story. So at every clinic I worked at, things progressed. What I mean by that, and part of that is because research progressed, experience progressed, the terminology expanded. You Of course, we at the time when I started, we didn't have licensing, so we had certification. Then with licensing came continuing education, and then opening up into all kinds of areas, the military, the Veterans Association, Health and Human Services. You know, now I get referrals from hospitals because they can't do some of the things I can do. Their hands are tied, or it's beyond their treatment plans. Now, I don't want to make it sound like this is the end all to everything, because it's not. Sometimes it's about working together with the other modalities and creating a synergy that creates unbelievable results where people were written off. And that's where the excitement comes from. And that's where the passion comes. And that's where the desire to go ahead and learn more and do more. You know, I'm at a time in my life where I think about retiring and I go, why?
Wow.
I just spent all these years learning this stuff. I'm getting better at it. I'm having a bigger impact with it. And the plethora of things that are out there that weren't even there 10 years ago that are happening across all age groups is just, it's amazing. But it all comes down to musculoskeletal pain. And my goal, and when I send out my newsletters and we talk about the difference between a chronic pain situation and a new onset acute. Acute's a piece of cake. It's a brand new injury. If I can get to you within 24 to 36 hours, that acute pain is probably not going to morph into a chronic pain, which means you save money, you go back doing the things you want to do, and you never have to go through the experience of having a chronic pain syndrome in that situation. However, if we get past that, and unfortunately, that's happening more often because people in the traditional system, and they should, want to go see their doctor. The problem is, I have people who have to wait 8 weeks, 10 weeks, sometimes a couple of months before they can get into the doctor. And, you know, sometimes you want to be safe. A car accident?
So true, yeah.
Yeah, you want to go to the emergency room. And we know, and want to make sure that nothing's obvious going on at that point. However, I love that word, however.
Of course.
However, we know to be checking 2 days later because the secondary injuries are not going to show up in the emergency room. So it's not unusual to have somebody come in 2 days later. So now we're at the 48-hour window and have them in full-blown spasm for any numbers of reason, whiplash, contusions. And this is stuff unfortunately and fortunately, we'll do with the unfortunate part, that I've experienced firsthand. I was in a terrible car accident in 2020, November 15th, 4 p.m. Notice how I know all the details. You remember these things. And I was in the emergency room at Loyola Hospital in the middle of COVID. So there were all kinds of things going on at that moment. So the unfortunate part was, yes, I landed in the emergency room and there was going to be a lot of problems down the road, in addition to the fact that I'm not going to get the help I need because we're in a national crisis. Fortunately, I know enough people and people started to step in. Also, I was literally in the emergency room able to start to work on things myself and help move that situation along. But even with all that going in my favor, it was a really tough recovery. So it really changed my perception of pain, a different kind of perception. Now, as a therapist, I've literally worked, I have thousands of hours on working on people on car accidents, but and I would listen to their stories and, you know, and get it. And of course, have empathy about it, but there's nothing like going through it yourself to really understand the fact that simply being able to get out of bed when your bladder says it's time to go to the bathroom. And normally, if that happens to you in the middle of the night, you're probably in the bathroom within 2 or 3 minutes and your body's like, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Now imagine that same thing happening. You can't even get out of bed yet. It takes you 7 or 8 minutes and you're thinking you're going to have a mess that you didn't plan on. So coming back to the room, no dignity. Grab the vase, take it to bed with you, and avoid that kind of problem. All right. But that's the kind of stuff you don't realize on a day-to-day basis that you take for granted. Being able to turn your head to look over your shoulder so that you can see a car or see all these things get impacted in these kind of situations. So right now, one of the questions somebody asked me yesterday was, what are the things that are you seeing the most? And one of them, the first thing they went to was back pain. And I was saying, no, I don't see a lot of back pain. Actually, it's not true. I do see a lot of back pain, but it's a consistent throughout the year. All right. When I mean by that, you and I right now we're sitting, and my guess is you sit quite a bit during the day. Worst possible musculoskeletal thing you could do to your body. Absolutely.
Oh, you were, here I go.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, I'm sure. In between, you're doing. Yeah, I'm sure you're doing all kinds of strategies so that you're loose, you're relaxed, you're, you know. But we know now from research that sitting is the equivalent of literally smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. All right, that's one thing. The other thing is you were designed to move, not sit. The longer you sit, and I don't care how ergonomic your desk is, I don't care, you know, how many pillows you have. There comes a point when you get tired and you start to shift around, move, and you move forward. And I've been watching you do that, by the way.
I know. Yeah. I can't.
Yes.
My posture's so bad.
Yes. And so you know, you begin to realize how this becomes cumulative, and you start laying down trigger points, these hyper-irritable points in your body. So one of the great things about this is I'm able to teach a person like you what to do in the middle of the day or at the end of the day or certainly before you go to bed to release all this tension so that you don't get to the point in 5-10 years where you're literally having a shoulder replacement or you have sciatica because you're have a bulging disc in your lower back, you know, just any number of things. Within 5 minutes of sitting and you're not moving, your nerve activation into your lower leg goes quiet because you're not moving, you're not using it. Now, as long as you're busy and you're busy all day, you don't know the pain.
No. But
the minute, yeah,
but the minute stop,
you're right, you get between these sessions here and you're like, oh man, I'm stiff here, I'm here, you know. So what happens is this becomes cumulative. So you end up with things like jaw pain, you end up with headaches. You end up with loss of range of motion of a shoulder or the inability to turn your head. And, you know, this stuff starts to pile on year after year, day after day. And at that point, that's when you start seeing doctors or doing the meds or going to chiropractors. And I have no problem with any of that, except you need to do other things so that you're not dependent on the drugs. Which, by the way, one of the things I love about this, because I'm sensitive to all kinds of medication, mostly 9 out of 10 times, this is a non-drug approach. The 10th time, the only drug that's used when I'm working in clinic is when we palpate, which is an important form of communication with the body. You're finding the nodules, you're finding the taut bands, and at the same time, you're soothing the central nervous system to give you permission to go in. So part of the job of a myofascial trigger point therapist in clinic is to find the trigger point, the hyper-irritable point, mark it off for the doctor to be able to come in and inject it in the cases where the pain's literally 7, 8, 9, or 10. In other words, you're in a circular pattern, pain, spasm, pain, spasm, pain. So what that does is gives, by doing the trigger point injections with lidocaine or mercaine, the doctor is able to interrupt that long enough where we can start to go in and bring that response back to a more normal state. And remember what I said to you before, about it being a learned response, we want to go in and change that learned response and bring it back to a more normal state. So that's our part. Your part will be to do the things we suggest at home and show you how to maintain that in between treatments, and more importantly, prevent it from getting worse, and in the future, prevent it altogether. And that part of my story, I'm sticking to. So
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much. We still have a few more minutes here.
Okay.
Wow, this is exciting work that you're doing. And also, to point out to everyone, if you are just tuning in, you're like, who's this gentleman talking? Well, it's our friend, Mr. Quaglio. Craig is his name. And again, he's here talking about this amazing. And by the way, I never knew about myofascial trigger point therapy until you spoke to me. That was like, what, last week? So this is
Yes.
all new to me too, but I can't believe this modality, how much it's so helpful to so many people.
It
And
is. And unfortunately, it's starting to fade away a little bit, because everybody likes the newest technology. So to stay relevant, I'm definitely integrating different technologies along this. First, to cut the cost of the total treatment cycle. Second, to get better and faster result. Third, some of the stuff like infrared, people could start using at home. Great, great modality that people can use to help really repair tissue, get down literally, they call it the mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell, and get things functioning in a more optimal, more normal way, and bring down and decrease the responses to whatever musculoskeletal pain you're having for whatever reason. So it is a synergy. It's not just me, it's you, it's the research, it's the experience, and it's the willingness on both sides to communicate and work together to accomplish a goal. And the goal is, as my logo says, myofascial trigger point therapy for a pain-free, productive life. You get back to work, you're more emotionally available to your family, you're able to go and
yeah.
dance or exercise, or even just simply be able to walk up and down stairs. These, whoever you are, whatever it is that you want to accomplish and you want to do, it's a big deal to you. And in a lot of cases, it's a life-changing deal.
Got it. It really is. Well, thank you so much. And, share with everyone, how we can get in touch with you, would you mind sharing your phone number, website, any forms of contact so we can, say hello and
Okay.
start?
The website, which I misquoted the last time,
Sure.
Craig Quaglia Trigger Point Expert.com. All right. And then the phone number, how could I forget that? 708-524-8812.
Perfect. One more time, say it again.
708-524-8812.
Perfect. Thank you again for being here and for joining us. And looking forward to the next time we connect. Great to see you today. Glad we got started. And
Yes.
we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you. Great day. Have a
Thank
good day.
you. Same here. Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Hi, this is Terry Crews. Actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.